Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Between Christmas and New Year's, many of my siblings came to Rochester so that we could celebrate Christmas together. My parents had spent many years in Preston, Minnesota. Three of the six of us had graduated from Preston. Two of the elders had graduated before my folks moved to Preston. One graduated later from a Twin Cities high school. Because we had grown up in Preston and because I had heard that the Branding Iron was closing on January 19th, which I take to be yesterday, I organized a last meal at the Branding Iron for the whole group. It was good to be there at a restaurant that was built when I was a sophomore in high school. But as we sat there that night in the restaurant, I looked around and I looked around, and I was surprised that outside of my family, I did not know one soul in that restaurant. My hometown, I thought. How strange that I wouldn't recognize at least somebody. You know, even though Preston is only 35 miles away, it is 40 years in my rearview mirror. Now, the fact is, I know all kinds of people in Preston. They just happen to be a generation older than me, adults who watched me grow up and become a pastor of the church. I was confirmed, married, and ordained at Christ Lutheran Church in Preston. Over these last few decades, as I have been a pastor, occasionally a pastor would leave that place, as pastors are wont to do, and quite a few times in those decades, people from that church would come to me and ask if I would like to be a pastor of Christ Lutheran. I confess nostalgia would tear at my heart, and I would think about what it would feel like to stand in the pulpit of a place that I have loved and that means a great deal to me, to look into the faces of people that I admire. And then I would always recall a conversation that I had one day with a woman a generation older than I. Because Preston is so close to Rochester, it is not uncommon for me to, at a store or a restaurant, run into someone that I know from there. And at one of these chance occasions, an older woman struck up a conversation with me. She remembered when I was 8 years old and how I would run the hallways of Christ Lutheran Church and how I would run around the altar. She recalled me as quite a little rascal, which would put to sleep any dreams that I might have of being a pastor in that place. Maybe the antics of little Norman would not translate very well into the adult ministry of someone trying to pastor others. A corollary to that story, she was not remembering me when I was 8 years old. I was 12 when we moved to Preston. She was remembering my brother. In our gospel for this day, the little boy Jesus returns to his hometown of Nazareth. Now, in truth, he is not a little boy anymore, but a young man. But a young man of which we have very little record, at least in Luke, by the time this story occurs. What we have heard is that in his ministry, all he's done is a little bit of teaching in the synagogues. Now, we can assume, I suppose, that he was a pretty good citizen in Nazareth, where he grew up, and in Capernaum, where he spent most of his early adult years. Maybe he was a carpenter following in the footsteps of his father, Joseph, but we really don't know that. What we do know is that Jesus' life took a radical turn the day that he was baptized by John in the River Jordan. Luke reports that he was full of the Spirit, and that same Spirit led him out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and of temptation by the devil. Jesus was able to spurn every temptation by the devil. And Luke reports that the devil left until an opportune time. The very next words in the Bible, the very next words are the words that we have read for our gospel lesson for this day. And in that first line, we hear that there was a report that spread about Jesus through all the surrounding country. Now, we don't know the specifics of that report. There are no specifics in Luke. We know he taught in the synagogues, but we don't know what he taught. We haven't had any stories of healings, no stories of his professing his love for all people. But I imagine we have to believe that this report was a good one, because people are welcoming this little boy, Jesus, become man, back into their hometown. Luke says everybody was praising him. On that day in his hometown, he goes to church, goes to the synagogue, as was his custom every week. Maybe it was the local rabbi who spied him among the people. In any case, it was good to have this Jesus, the hometown hero, returned, read the scriptures for the day. And he is handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus finds the place in Isaiah where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Oh, preach it, Jesus. We want to hear more of that. Jesus, we are the poor and the oppressed. The Romans always have their thumbs on our necks. There is no prosperity like there used to be. Lead us, Jesus. Lead us into that year where all debts will be canceled and people can have hope again. People are excited about this hometown hero. It's no wonder people are speaking well of him. You can almost hear that person say, "I watched that Jesus grow up across the street. He was such a good boy. He was so kind. He didn't run around the altar like the other kids." Luke further reports, "All spoke well of him. They wondered at the gracious words that came from his mouth." Now, if this were a 21st century movie, this is the place where the music would turn dark. The camera would focus in on Jesus' face, which is very troubled. The lights would dim, and the timpani would beat a slow march to disaster. For Jesus' words are going to turn to what seems like a repudiation of his hometown people. Essentially, he tells two stories that indicate that God, perhaps as a preference for foreigners over Israelites. He tells a story about a time in Elijah's day in which there were all kinds of widows who were starving in a famine, and yet none of them in Israel enjoyed God's unending riches. It was a foreigner, a Phoenician woman from Sidon, that got that blessing. And Jesus says there were all kinds of lepers in the time in which Elisha was a prophet. But Elisha didn't heal any of the Israelites. He healed a Syrian. A Syrian. And you can almost hear that person from across the street saying, "I knew that little boy would come to no good. You should see the way he talked to his mother, such a know-it-all. He tried to be that perfect kid. I'll bet he ran around the altar when we weren't looking." Others had more serious thoughts, like thoughts of killing Jesus. After all, they drove him out of town to the brow of the cliff in order to hurl him off the cliff. I hope you can appreciate how quickly this story turns on its head. In one instance, the people are praising the little boy Jesus, and in the very next instant, they want to kill him. They knew this little boy would come to no good. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We have had some men and women out of Bethel go into the pastoral ministry. What if we invited one of them back here to preach and in that sermon said to you, you know, God is not so much with you as God is with that person struggling with alcohol at an AA meeting this morning. God is not so much with your offerings to help the poor as God is with the poor who wonder where their next meal is coming from. God is not so much favoring those people who are baptized at this font as God is out there attempting to bring in people whom we might consider foreigners to receive the good news. Foreigners. Now the fact is, Jesus did not give up, and Jesus was not repudiating his own people, the Israelites. There are other stories in his life of ministry in which it is clear that Jesus came for the Israelites. One even says he came first and only for the people of God, the people of Israel, the Jews. But in this early instance in his ministry, in his hometown, Jesus expands that good news infinitely. He reminds those people that this good news is not for the hometown only. It is not only for the Jews. It is even for Syrians and Phoenicians. It hasn't changed, people. The good news is not just for those of us who gather in a beautiful place like this. The good news is for everyone. And if the little Lord Jesus tells us that, we do well to listen, because he will go all the way to the cross to prove it. Amen. Please rise and